Well, I'm excited to be with you guys. Some of you probably were here and you're like, where's Ralph? What's Ralph doing? Why isn't Ralph up here? Well, Ralph has graciously lended me the reins for the next few weeks so that we can journey down a path together that I'm pretty excited about. I'm pretty jazzed about. We're starting a new series this morning. It's called Relationships, Brothers, Mothers, and Others. And my hope is that we're going to discover some nuances to relationships. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about romantic relationships, but my hope is that we're going to see that there's implications to the way that we handle our romantic relationships that have bear on the way we do all of our relationships. Whether that's the way that I talk to my mom or the way that I talk to Jess, my wife, I need to make sure that some of those dynamics are maintained the same. Obviously, there's some different, and we'll get to those, but we're going to spend a lot of time exploring some of the nuances of relationships over the next few weeks. So we've got a lot of different people here in the room. We've got some married folks, some folks that have been doing that for a long time, some folks that are maybe just kind of new to the marriage scene, but we've got some married people here. And we've got some singles, right? We've got some students, some high school students, some college students, maybe some middle school students. And so my hope is we've got a bunch of people coming from a lot of different perspectives, but my hope is that we're all going to gain some insight. We're all going to gain some perspective on what God has for us in relationships, irregardless of where we fall on this relationship spectrum. So we're going to journey on with this idea of relationships for a few weeks. We're going to go probably to like the middle of May. And then Ralph's going to start a series that I'm really stoked about on community. And I don't think there's a better way to start or to lead up to a series on community than with a series on relationships. Because I think relationships are the building blocks of community. I think that's where community starts. True community starts with our individual relationships. And so we're going to go back to the beginning this morning. We're going to start at the very forefront of things. And just before we get too far into things, I just want to issue a few disclaimers. And the first is this. I'm a guy. And to be honest, I don't know that any guy has a whole lot of business doing a series on relationships, especially a multi-week series. My hope is that you're gonna give me grace, and we're gonna trust the grace of God to be able to get us through this. And even though I can't, you know, carry on a conversation with a woman for but more than maybe a few seconds, we can trust that God through me can hopefully communicate some things to all of us that will resonate in our hearts and help us. And then the second thing that I want to issue or this disclaimer is I'm married. There's an upside and a downside to being married and trying to teach a series like this. And I really do hope that the upside comes through, but I know that there's a downside, and you can be like, well, Ryan, you don't really understand. You're not down with like what it means to be single right now. You don't understand all of the stuff that we deal with. You don't understand all the nuances there. For crying out loud, it's been 13 years since your last first date. I mean, you married your high school sweetheart. What do you have that you can teach us right now about relationships? And so I hope that you trust that it's not going to be me so much that's teaching this, is that hopefully we can see that this is God. See, we're not really here for my opinion, and honestly, we're not really here to hear your opinion on it either. We're here to hear his opinion. That's why we have here. We've got the originator of relationships in the house this morning. We've got the blueprint of blueprints on relationships with us. So we don't need Ryan's opinion. If this series was called, you know, Relationships According to Ryan, we'd all be lost. We'd all be lost. And y'all that know me well know that is very true. Very true. So we don't need to fly in any experts. We don't need to go to Barnes & Noble and look at the relationship section. We've got all that we need right here. And so we're going to start in the beginning this morning. Starting this the beginning. And once again, got a few disclaimers, and there's one big thing that I want us to wrap our heads around this morning. There's one big presupposition that I'm making going into this. And we all do this, right? We all carry these assumptions into any circumstance that we start into. And the big assumption that I'm making this morning is this, is that relationships succeed. Relationships succeed when an awareness of God and a connectivity to God are foremost in our thinking. Relationships succeed when an awareness of God and a connectivity to God are foremost in our thinking. See, we're going back to the beginning this morning. We're going back to the very beginning, and we're seeing that God, the originator of life, he came up with the idea of a boy. He came up with the idea of a girl. He came up with the idea of a relationship. It all started with him. So the degree to which we're rooted in him, our life, our mind, our being is rooted in him, to that degree, we have the potential to have some pretty incredible relationships. And guys, it's not just about being rooted in God. There are some really effective, you know, practical elements that we're going to go into with this series. But if you came here this morning and you're just hoping, you know, maybe I can find a boyfriend, a girlfriend, you know, I need this tidbit, I need that little nuance. If you came here this morning and that's all you're looking for and you missed the fact that God's at the heart of it all, God's at the beginning of it all, then you'll have missed it all. You'll have missed everything. And so that's the big assumption that I'm making this morning. That's the huge presupposition that our awareness of God individually and our connectivity to God individually, out of that is the basis by which we have the potential to dream and to have some really incredibly successful relationships. And I just want to put a few words out there this morning. And we're going to dig into some scripture. And if you have your Bible with you this morning, I'd love it if you could just open right up to page 1. To page 1. I know for those of you that might have a little trouble finding things in the Bible, it'll make things nice and easy. But we're going to page 1. So you just kind of, you know, pass the first couple pages, and then we're going right to page 1. Page 1. And we're going to start Genesis chapter 1, looking first verse 24. If I get my Bible to stay open. And the first word that I want to put out there this morning is this. It's the word created. Can we all just say that with me? A little bit of horsepower. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Created. All right. So the first idea that we want to study is created. See, when we back up this morning, we realize at the very beginning, God created. And that's not a real revolutionary thought. You know, any of you guys that ever opened up the first chapter of the Bible, you're like, hey, yeah, it is. It's created. The creation happens there. Nothing real revolutionary there. And to be honest, there's not going to be a whole lot that's revolutionary that comes out today. But my hope is that it is indeed refreshing, especially to those of us that are trying to navigate this tricky, you know, tightrope walk of successful relationships. And I'll say this again this morning. Maybe this is 5, 10, 15 years in front of you. Or and you're like, Ryan, I don't understand why you're drilling us on this. Well, my hope is that we're going to dig into this and let God teach us and God change our heart and set in place a foundation by which we can go forth and have incredibly successful relationships. You know, or maybe this is 5, 10, 15, 50 years in your rear view and you're going, Ryan, I've been there, done all this. Why are we talking about this? Well, my hope is that hopefully, there's going to be some stuff that we can learn, even if we've been navigating this relationship thing for a long time. So maybe you're on your second marriage. Maybe you're on your third marriage. Maybe the last relationship you were in crashed and burned. Yeah, and there's all this angst and all this upheaval. But let's let God put in our hearts and our minds and let us dream about what it could look like to have these incredibly successful relationships. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 24. God's already been created, so we're hopping right into this creation story, and let's look. It says, God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, living creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to their kind, and it was so. And it was so. And that, I think, is a little throwaway phrase that a lot of times we'll just glance right over, but it was so. When God said it, it was so. So if God's saying something over your life this morning, if he's saying something about your relationships, if he's saying something about just anything in your life, if he says it, it can be so. I don't want us to miss that. I think that's an incredibly important concept. If he says it, it can be so. If he says it, it can be so. So when our God says something, it can be so. Verse 25, God made the wild animals according to their kind, the livestock according to theirs, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And then verse 26, and I love this, it says, let us, we're talking like Trinitarian, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God's got this big idea, right? And his idea is that he's creating this beautiful place, this perfect place. And he says, I'm going to create man, and I'm going to make him in my image, in our image, in our likeness. And then I'm going to place man into this creation. I'm setting this in motion, and I'm saying, all right, this is going to be your baby to roll with. This is going to be your thing. Verse 27, and that's exactly what God did. So he created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. And you're like, hold on, God, didn't you just say that twice? Did you read it? Here we go. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times I'm like, somebody's repeating themselves. I got it the first time. I caught on to that the first go around. No big thing there. But God's repeating this on purpose. He's doing it intentionally. He's doubling the impact by repeating this reality of what he's saying. And then it moves on to this last line. Male and female, he created them. So if you walk around in public today, I think you, and you ask people, you're like, you know, did God create the world? I think, you know, you're going to get a lot of responses, but I think the vast majority of people still today, I think they're going to be like, yeah, God created the world. Their God might be different than our God. Their process might look a little different than our process, but God created the world. And then if you move on a little bit further and you say, well, if that's true, then did God create mankind? Did God create mankind? And the same response. I think you'll get a lot of the same thing. Well, yes, God did. Different God, different path. But God did create mankind. And see, I don't think God anthropology, the fact that God created everything, is all that revolutionary a thought, is all that unique a thought. But I do think that true God creation of us is the most revolutionary thought that has ever popped into any human being's mind. It's the most revolutionary thought, and I'll tell you why for a couple of reasons, and then we'll move off this idea created. And the first of which is this. Because you have incredible intrinsic value simply because you were created in the image and likeness of God. You have incredible worth and value simply because you were created in the image of God. It's on the first page of the story, guys. It's on the first page of the book. All you do is open it up, go past, you know, Holy Bible, contents, a few words, preface, and then bam. First page. You were created in the image and likeness of God. I think that is the most crazy thought ever. And we just got to pray, God, let that sink in this morning. Let that sink in. Because everything in our lives has risen up against this very base level preliminary reality that you have intrinsic value in and of yourself simply because you were created in the image and likeness of God. It's not relative to any external event, not relative to any achievements, not because you have so many friends on Facebook, it's not because you have so many followers on Twitter. Some of you guys are looking at me a little funny. Twitter's a new social media kind of thing. So it's not related to any of that. It's not because you're bald or because you got this cute little bob or because you got pigtails. It has nothing to do with your hair. It's not because of this number in your bank account or this number in your 401k. It's not because of any of that. You're valuable simply because you were made in the image and likeness of God. Intrinsic, that means that there's no external factor that's determining your value simply because you were made in the image and likeness of God. And see, guys, I think that's just a real simple truth this morning. But I think it's something that we lose sight of so often because, guys, if we just move off center, just even a few steps off center, we end up in a relationship with a guy, in a relationship with a girl, and what are we doing? What are we asking them? We're looking down at our phone and we're going, just call me back. Just text me. Like just send me some flowers. Stop by the house. Like, just say that you love me. And guys, if we're not careful, we're doing a human thing on one level, but we're doing a real devastating thing on another level. And we're saying it in a different language, but what we're saying is, tell me that I'm worth something. Tell me that I'm a somebody. And guys, I can tell you, we can flake out, and we know for darn sure the ladies can flake out. But if we're all just here flaking out, we got a whole lot of value deprived, value deficit people rolling around on planet Earth. And it's all because, you know, he didn't give me the value that he was supposed to, or she stood me up, or this or that or the other, as opposed to, thank you very much for rejecting me. That did not feel too good, but I'm kind of getting used to it, you know. But just so you know, I have value in and of myself. Apart from any relationship that I might have, I have some pretty incredible value just because I was made in the image and likeness of God. And I just want to tell you, ladies, this morning, because of the way you work and the way that you're wired, you have off the charts value this morning, apart from what JoJo might say about you. Off the charts value. And you're like, who's JoJo? Well, JoJo's an imaginary character. We're going to keep kind of ragging on him this whole series. But imagine with me for a moment. You're at this place. You're at this like nice kind of vibey location. You're sitting at this table and you're looking across the table and there's this person of your dreams in front of you. And they're looking back at you and they say, you're the greatest person on the planet. My heart has been out of rhythm since the moment that I met you. I don't think that I can live without you. You're the best thing that there is. And you're like, oh, thank you. Thank you. And inside you're going, aah! Right? You're like, oh, awesome. Can I have some more tea? Thank you. Well, I'm sorry. What were you saying? No. See, I dreamed for that moment, and I know you have dreamed for that moment as well. But let me just tell you this. That moment pales in comparison. It's 100 times below what God is already saying across the table to you. He's already saying to you, you blow my mind with how amazing you are. You blow my mind. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. I think we'll be closer to having successful relationships on every level. The second thing that I think this does is that, and then we'll move kind of quickly through these, but is that it not only does it give intrinsic value to you, but it gives intrinsic value to everyone else that's out there. Everyone else. And any of you that have ever, you know, seen movies of the dating scene or that have been actively a part of movies in the dating or of the dating scene, you kind of know that it's a little crazy out there. Things are not exactly the way it's supposed to be. And I know that it doesn't really apply to any of us. All of us are, you know, we're just praying to God. God, I just want to meet a man of good character. I want to meet a man, you know, he's got good hygiene and he appreciates you. He's a powerful man of God. And really just that he's a man of good character. And that's all we really care about. And we're rolling into Starbucks and we're like, just looking for men of character. That's all we really care about. We're just looking for men of character. And I know we're not like any of those people from those other churches that they're just rolling around and they got the hot meter out. And they're like, And you guys know how the hot meter works, right? Here, just a real quick, it's kind of like this algorithm or this graph. And here's how it works. And I know we're going to lose the married people here for a second, but here's how it works. So you got on this side, you're like hot, like woo, like hot. But I don't have a shot. Like, I don't have a shot. No shot. So I'm going to keep looking. And then we get on this end of the spectrum. And we're like, not hot. Not hot. But I got a shot. Like, I got a legit shot. I got a shot. And the idea with this hot meter thing is that you kind of come to the center and you're like, kind of hot, and I've got a shot. And you know, I've been talking to a handful of people over the course of this weeks leading up to this about this concept, just so I have a little better feel of it. And a bunch of them are like, yeah, but I'm like over here, and I'm always trying to go over here. And you got to appreciate those guys. You got to appreciate the people that are always trying to end up over here. You know, it works out every now and then. It worked out for me and Jess. But, you know, we're always trying to go down here. It's awesome when it happens. It's awesome when it happens. And at the same time, you're looking down here, and you're like, bro, you could kind of come to the middle. You could get to the middle. It's kind of like this beep, 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 boop. Like that's it. That's it. That's what we're looking for. Hot, and I've got a shot. Like that's it. That's it. But guys, when we take that, I mean that to be a little funny, but you know, you take that down to the lowest common denominator. You take it to the lowest level. You take Jesus out of the equation. You just got a bunch of people rolling around scamming on one another. And what are they asking? They're asking just one question. What can I get out of this? What do you have to give me? You drop it down to the baseline, and what are they thinking? They're thinking one thing. And they're missing the reality that the person they're looking at has incredible intrinsic worth and value simply because they were made in the image and likeness of God. See, we got to change the lens that we're looking through, because the lens, this culture lens that so often gets in front of us, is not clear. It's not what really shows an accurate representation. We need to get this God lens in front of us. We can't operate off this last relationship filter. You know, if the last relationship with a guy went bad, you're all like you're going to scratch his eyes out. Or if you're a guy and it went bad, you're like, you know, forget you and forget you and forget you and forget all of you ladies. Like, I don't need the grief. See, we gotta put this God lens in front of us. Where when we're walking around, we see people that are full of incredible worth and value. And guys, that changes everything. It changes everything. You're walking into a situation looking at people with incredible worth and value. And so instead of, you know, walking into a scenario scamming on everybody, you see God. You see God. And then I don't know. Maybe that's kind of like a good pickup line, right? And I know we're not here to see what Ryan thinks, but you know, maybe it's something like, "Hi, God said He made you with incredible worth and value. Hi, I'm JoJo. Good to meet you." I mean, like maybe it's like one of those things. But you know, the idea is that this will change the way that you approach things, change your the way you respect, the way you honor, the way you turn that scam meter off, and the way you turn the thank you Jesus meter on. You walk into conversation saying, "I've got worth and value, and this person I'm looking at has worth and value," and that changes everything. That changes everything. The third observation is this, and I want to put it in context. It says, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. We're going back to the beginning this morning, back to this kind of the source, the originator of life. And I want us to see that God made a male because he wanted to make a male, and He made a female because He wanted to make a female. And there's a reason there are guys because God wanted a guy, and there's a reason there's girls because God wanted a girl. You know, and it's not because, you know, He wanted the guy to be like a girl or the girl to be like a guy. He wanted two distinctly beautiful, uniquely made in the image of God. And I don't want us to get caught up in this, "Oh, well, it doesn't really matter, you know, boy, girl, it doesn't really matter." No, it matters a lot. It mattered to God. He made a guy because He wanted a guy, and He made a girl because He wanted a girl. That's right there in that first page. Second word that I want to give us this morning is the word arranged. Can you just say that with me? Arranged. And I know it doesn't quite flow off the tongue the way that you know, some of the other ones do. And some of you are like, "Arranged. This is a relationship series, Ryan. I don't know how I feel about you using the terminology arranged." Well, trust me, we're not going there. But here's what we're talking about. God is a God of order. And He set things in motion in a certain direction to have an understanding, to help us have an understanding of what it takes to have successful relationships. Turn over to the next chapter here, chapter 2, and we're going to start reading in verse 18. Now remember with me, I'll fill in the blanks. God created, He's on the second, you know, he's kind of going through things. Earth, created the living creatures, created the garden. He's got the four rivers in the garden. He created man, He put man in the garden. And so He's creating in sequence, right? He didn't just, you know, drop man on the scene on day one. No, He was setting the tone. He was setting things up. Day six, He finally gets around and He sets the man in it. And then it starts. He's not, you know, like throwing creation stuff all around and hope something sticks. That's not it. He says this in verse 18. It's not good for the man to be, or for man to be alone. I'll make a suitable helper for him. Now the Lord God formed out of the ground all of the beasts of the field and all of the birds of the air, and He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. And this is the part, the guys, like, we like this, right? Like, we got to name the animals. We're pretty excited about that. But the imagery that just pops in my head, I love. Because, you know, you got God there and Adam, and he's ready. He's watching all the people, all the animals come through. And you got to get kind of the magnifying glass out for some of the little insects and stuff like that. And you're kind of looking up at some of the big ones. And you got this, you know, maybe an angel on the scene that's kind of writing everything down. And brings in the first one, and he's like, Giraffe. Yep. And the angel's like, "How do you spell that? Giraffe. I don't know. I don't know." And the next one comes out and, you know, "Rhinoceros." Yes, it's a rhinoceros. And the angel's just sitting there shaking his head like, "I don't even know how to spell that." But the thing is, I love it. Ladies, if you don't like the way that the animals were named, you can just say, look to the guy next to you and say, "Hey, it's your fault." Like, And we're all glad that the ladies didn't get a chance to name them because they'd all be like Lambsy Pie and Bubbly Poo and Snookums and stuff like that. But the guy was just like, he was just like, Squirrel! So the man's naming all the animals. And then verse 20 says, so the man gave names to all the livestock, birds of the air, beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. And I just got to be honest. I just got to be transparent with you guys here for a minute. That verse troubles me a little bit. It troubles me a little bit because it kind of implies that, God's kind of sitting in the background. He's watching all these animals come through. And the whole time he's thinking, I wonder if Adam will like that giraffe. Rhinoceros, maybe? No. Squirrel? Yeah, you're like, And I don't know what that means. I don't know all the implications there, but no suitable helper was found. So verse 21, let's get out of that real quick. Verse 21, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken from man and brought her to the man. And the man said, and I think this is kind of funny because, if this had been one of the ladies' verses, if this had been Eve's verse instead of, Adam's, it would have been like, oh God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for bringing this guy. He's perfect for me. God, thank you so much. Like, this is wonderful. But Adam, he's just like, hi, you're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Like, real sensitive, Adam. But then all of a sudden, wedding bells kind of chime in and the music changes. It says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife. This is the second chapter of scripture. And the two will become one flesh. And then kids, cover your ears. The man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. Wow. So if I could just speak into this real quickly. You were created and you were created with incredible intrinsic value this morning. And secondly, I hope we can breathe this in deeply, that we're not the ones that come up with the relationship matrix. We're not the ones that have to figure that all out. God has already done that. He's already arranged everything. He's already organized it all. He's organized creation, and then he put the man in it, and then man organized the garden and the animals, and then God put woman in it. And if there's a footnote this morning, I think it goes something like this. When a man brings order to his life, he's then ready to invite a woman in to join the process that's already been set in motion. It's not this haphazard, hey, baby, come, be with me and we're going to live on love and it's all going to work out. No, it's not like that. No, the man's supposed to organize life, to arrange life so that he can invite woman into what he's already arranged with the help of God. So men, I think it works that way as we sort of prepare everything, kind of like God did, everything was ready. 6 days of creation, garden, rivers, animals, man, name the animals. And then at the very last part, God saved the best for last. And at the very last part, he drops woman into the story for the man. I don't miss this powerfully arranged process of God. A couple observations. No suitable helper was found. Number one, man needs assistance. Man needs assistance. Guys, we just need to embrace that this morning. You're like, Ryan, I know I need help. No, like we need to champion that. We need to be like, I need help. I need help. God knew it. I know it. We know it. I need assistance. I need help. The next thing is, it's not good for man to be alone. Man was created first, but things were not final, and it was not fine until woman was on the scene, until woman was in there. Third thing I want us to pick up on is that man was out of it when woman came on the scene. Man was out of it. God put him in a coma when woman was created. So he was in a fog when this whole relationship thing was kind of figured out. So guys, that's our perpetual excuse, right? And use it freely. When she says, you don't get it, you don't understand me, be like, yes, you're right. I was in a coma. Like, I was out of it. I was minding my own business. I was naming the animals. And then, poof, God knocked me out. I was out of it in a deep sleep. And then I woke up and then you were there. The fourth thing is that they called her woman, which means, whoa, man. I mean, like, she stopped him dead in his tracks. And those of you that you might know what I'm talking about, but when I was rolling through life, I was doing everything the way that I wanted to do it. I was, big into sports and doing all that. And then God dropped Jesse Germeroth into my life, and I was like, ah! whoa, man. Like that's what happened. You know, I was just rocking it along and rocking it along and rocking along, and I would have thought I would have been fine. But then God just dropped her in. And it was just different. There's no better feeling than that, right? You know? So I woke Adam up, and God's like, "Hi, I'd like you to meet her." And he's like, "Hi, I'm your bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Fourth observation is that God made the woman. And I just want to say that out loud this morning. I want to breathe life into men that God created you, but then into women, God created you as well. Ish was his name, Isha was her name. Man and out of man, but made by God. Made by God. Because, you know, I just want to say that because things are about to go haywire here in a second. But you were not made by man, you were made by God. He understands you, he fashioned you. Number six observation, this near the end of this arrange word. But man pursued the woman. I love that it says, for this reason, a man shall leave his wife, or leave his father and mother. You know, I know you ladies are on board with this. Guys, just kind of hang in there with me for a minute. But for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united. And I like the old translation, to cleave to his wife. And the two will become one flesh. That means that there's this guy and he's maturing and he's stabilizing and he's arranging and preparing to meet someone of God's choosing and of God's time. So if you're a guy and you're thinking, you know, I'm called to marriage, then you got to be thinking, you know, what's first? You know, I need a woman. And to get a woman, I need to start maturing and I need to start stabilizing. And part of that maturing and stabilizing process might be, well, you know, I got to get a job. And you're like, well, Ryan, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but the economy's kind of crappy right now. I can't just get a job. It's not that easy. Well, then get a bad job. Well, if I get a bad job, then I can't pay for all my bills. Well, then get two bad jobs. Get two bad jobs and then go and say, you know, sweetie, I'm trying to make this happen. I'm maturing. I'm stabilizing. I got one bad job that I really don't like. And then when I leave that one bad job that I don't like, I go to another bad job that I don't like, all because I want to leave my father and mother and cling to you, to cleave to you, so we can join into this story that God's already gotten us arranged, this pre-arranged story. It's not perfect. I don't have it all figured out. Yeah. But I'm pursuing you and I'm preparing for you. So God's saying, guys, you get to take the lead on this. You get to take the lead on this deal. And guys, you know, you may not believe it, but I cannot help but think this is 100% true. I still think even in 2013, there are plenty of women out there that want a guy that'll go through a wall of fire for them. There are plenty of guys or ladies out there that want to see a guy that'll run through a wall for them. Somebody's a little ahead in this story. But the deal is that we gotta start trusting God, right? If we're gonna let him do it on his timing, we gotta say, God, please birth trust in me this morning that I'm not gonna try and manipulate things. I'm not gonna try to make things happen when they maybe they shouldn't happen. You see, it wasn't the guy that came to the girl, and it wasn't the girl that came to the guy, it was God who brought the girl to the guy. That's kinda how the story works. So it's, you know, saying, I'm going to mature and I'm going to stabilize. And ladies, I'm going to mature and I'm going to stabilize. But I'm not going to go running off and chasing after every guy because I'm in this fortress of value this morning. I have incredible worth and incredible intrinsic value this morning. And, you know, he might be able to amen my value, but he's not going to be able to trump what God has already said to me. In the same regard, guys, you might be able to find the most beautiful, wonderful, smart, creative, intelligent, hot woman that you've ever met. And she might be able to amen your value, but she's not going to be able to trump what God's already saying to you. So we got to say, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm not going to bail out on you. I'm going to trust you. And the next observation is that union was important. That cleave word, that means to glue, stick, mold, and meld. It's a big word to God in just the second chapter of the story. And this last observation is found down in verse 25, and I don't know that we can even say it again, but they were both naked and unashamed. Can we just say that again? They were naked and unashamed. Somebody out there is like, yes, that's what I'm talking about. That's why I came to a relationship series. I want to be talking about naked and unashamed with a woman. And somebody else is like, Ralph, you know what he's doing up there? Can we talk about this in church? Well, I hope we talk about this in church, because we know society's not going to be quiet about it. They're not going to be quiet about it. So they were naked and unashamed. And guys, that's paradise right there. Paradise is a guy and a girl, and they're naked and unashamed. God is there, and they're both naked, and it's all good. And don't tell me God's a prude. Don't tell me that God's out of touch with culture, that he doesn't know what's going on. God said, I want this to go down in the second chapter of my book. They were naked and unashamed. I want to put that in the second chapter. He didn't have to include that. He could have left that out. But he said, nah, put it in the book. They were naked and unashamed. Because that contrasts this third word that we're going to look at this morning. Because there are people, even people in this room, that are completely clothed, yet covered in shame. Because you can't butt up against God's plan. I mean, well, you can, but it just doesn't work out. And our third word tonight is brokenness. Because right into this power of creation that gives us all of this incredible, amazing value, and right into this beautifully arranged story of God, and he says, you know, this is how it works. The very next word, and it just blows my mind. The very next word is this, and the man and his wife were naked and they had no shame. And if you take out all the transitional commentary, you take out the number three there, it says, and now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say? So all of a sudden, the very next word, the very next thing says, and now. And now. And what was the and now? The and now was the voice that says, you know, God doesn't really know what's going on. And they forgot what I forget. They forgot that God loves us, that he cares for us, that he wants what's best for us. They forgot it, and then in the end, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And everything that God had done was broken. Oh, you can read it in chapter 3. It's there. You know, it starts off, God comes into the garden, Adam and Eve are nowhere to be found. God finds them hovering over here in the corner, hiding from some stuff, and he says, what are you guys doing? And they're like, well, we heard you coming, and we were ashamed because we were naked. And he's like, why are you ashamed? Like, yesterday you weren't ashamed. Yesterday you weren't worried about being naked. You know, who told you you were naked? And see, they traded the truth of God for a lie. And then they got this rainstorm, this rain cloud of condemnation that's already found them on day one. And then it rolls in and starts talking about the consequences of their actions. Consequences of doing things the way that God, or against the way that God had arranged them to be done. He says, you know, some of the consequences are the serpent and the woman, there's going to be conflict there. And between her offspring and his, you know, he talks a little bit, you know, referencing Jesus there, there's going to be all this conflict. And he says, you know, check this out. Go to verse 16. He says to the woman, I'll greatly increase your pains in childbirth and the pain you will give birth to children. And then it goes on and says, your desire will be for your husband and he'll rule over you. See, that wasn't the plan from the get-go. That wasn't the plan. That wasn't the way God intended. It wasn't what was on God's mind. God's mind was a man and a woman together jointly ruling all of creation. This wasn't part of the plan. But then when sin entered the scene, everything got fractured. Everything got splintered. Everything got changed. And as a result of this, he says, you know, this is not my doing, but this is as a result of the decisions you made. He says, your desire is going to be for this man, and that and you're going to have all this longing for this man to be and do for you what no one else can be and do for you. And then the man, he's going to have this sense that he's going to be dominating over you. And if you just look around the world today, you can see how this is happening and playing out all over the place. You know, there's all this brokenness, all of this is happening, and it wasn't the plan. It was the consequences of us saying, God, you know, I don't even know who you are anymore. I'm going to try it my own way. Try it my own way. You see, that's what's happened to our world. Everything's broken. Everything's shattered. All our relationships are broken. But that doesn't mean we can just sit down and be like, you know, well, that's just the way that I'm going to approach my relationships then. If all this world is already broken and shattered, then I'm just going to approach them through this broken and shattered lens. Because that's not what God's calling us to. Yeah. Because right here at the end of this chapter, brokenness gives way to restoration. Brokenness gives way to restoration. So before the story's ever finished and before the garden's ever over for Adam and Eve, it says in verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. They could have just said, y'all blew it. Y'all screwed this up. You didn't do it the way that I asked you to, and because of that, you're going to just deal with the consequences. But see, God didn't just leave them like that. He said, no, even in the midst of all this, there's going to be hope. There's going to be hope, and here's what it is. And he took this animal, and the poor animal had just been named. Takes this animal, and he slays it, and he takes the skin from the animal and makes garments for the man and his wife. Why? Because they were, because he was all bent out of shape. Y'all didn't listen to me? No. No, because they were bent out of shape. They were all covered in shame. He was acting on their behalf to cover up their nakedness and their shame. And what was he doing? He was setting into motion something that had already begun unfolding since before the dawn of time. He's saying, I'm going to do something extraordinary with this. I'm going to give you back the hope of Eden. I'm going to restore brokenness. I'm going to give back the promises of beautiful relationships again. I'm a God of restoration. I'm a God who rescues, restores, and redeems. I'm going to set in motion this beautiful rescue plan that's name is Jesus. And he's going to come to the planet. He's going to give his life for the sins of the world. And he's going to take on the pain and the shame of all of our mess ups of all time. And he's going to bear that shame. He's going to be naked when he dies on that trash heap. But it's not going to end there. This is all so that I can raise him up to my glorious kingdom and give him, or so that he can give to everyone that asks. Everyone that asks, the gift of righteousness, so that we can be what the New Testament says is clothed with a new identity. Not a garment of a slain animal, but a garment that's a robe of righteousness, and not just any righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus. And can wear this newness in place of our brokenness, and repair can come. So we're talking about relationships, and then, maybe we're a little heavy on the romantic side for you and your tastes, but here's the gist. Before any boy meets any girl, they both need to meet Jesus. Before any boy meets a girl, they got to meet Jesus. Before they meet one another, they got to get Jesus. And I'm just telling you, and you could be like, oh, well, he's coming along. He's going to get things figured out. I'm just telling you, ladies, you don't want to marry any man who's not in love with Jesus. And guys, the same thing. You don't want to marry any woman who's not over the top of in love with Jesus. Because that's the first step to getting reconnected with our Father who arranged this beautiful life, where we can accomplish his purposes. And then once we're there, we can say, God, I need a partner to bring into this with me. And in case you guys missed it, men, you need to initialize, you need to mature, you need to stabilize. And then ask God to start arranging things so that then you can bring in a woman and invite them into what's already been going on between you and God. I'm talking about letting God get in there and do the work that he needs to do to change the things that he needs to change, to do the surgery that he needs to do so that you will be the man that God created you to be, which is to lead out in love of a woman and join forever, move on to accomplishing the things that God's created for you to do. Let's pray. Lord, I just love the way that you love relationships. I love your forethought. I love the way that you are thinking of things that would never even popped into my mind. The way that you are arranging and you are organizing. Also that you could say, hey, here's a blueprint by which you guys can approach your relationships. Lord, I hope irregardless of where we are in the relationship spectrum that we can see value in one another because of our intrinsic likeness to you. Because we were made in the image and likeness of you. So whether we're talking to our mom or talking to our girlfriend or talking to our brother, we can approach people with without the scam meter out, but with the thank you Jesus meter on. So we can approach relationships and we can develop beautifully successful relationships because we're looking at your blueprint and saying, hey, God, I'm going to follow that. I'm not going to jip out on you. I'm not going to flake out. So Lord, thank you so much for what you've taught us today. And thank you that you're going to go before us in the upcoming weeks so that we can learn even more. Thank you in Jesus' name.